You were listening to Gateway to the 13, that's sort of an odd title, from Jonathan Goldman's Lost Chord album. I think it's rather haunting. And I played it because it's a favorite of mine. There's a lot of things that Jonathan Goldman brings out of the dark into the light. So I thought that would be appropriate for the show tonight, since he and his partner wife, Andy Goldman, are going to be our guests. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for Sound Health Show on BBS Radio. And for the next hour, I am so thankful that you could join us for a bit of conversation that's designed to provide options, information, and ideas for self-health. Our guests, our husband and wife team, they're going to be with us to talk about a very special day, World Sound Healing Day, and about their new book and whatever else occurs to us. But as usual, we have a few announcements before the show. One, don't forget the archives of all the shows on BBS Radio. The crew has worked hard to archive all of the shows, not just this one, but the many wonderful shows that are on BBS and are full of great information. They're free to listen to. We don't have all of our descriptions done, but we're working on that. And we've had some great guests. Announcement number two, we have completed the Invoice, BioVoice, VioVoice, we don't know what to call this program yet, and thank you for all your name suggestions. But we now can do the vocal profiling personality profiler, I guess we want to call it, by phone. And we're working out the bugs of that. So if you would like to join us in a beta run, get in touch with us, and we'll take a sample of your voice over the phone. For those of you who have high-speed internet, you can even watch what's being done, and you can watch your print being made. We'll go online with you. We then turn around and email that print to you immediately. So you can contact us at radio@vocalprofiling.com or Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, @vocalprofiling.com. And you can always call us 740-698-9119, and you can also go on the bbsradio.com, look on the information about our show, so you can get all the contact information that way. This only takes about 5 minutes of your time, and we can send it to you via the internet immediately, or we can send it out by snail mail. It's about a 3 to 5 page printout of what your vocal codes reveal about you, and this personality profiler is going to deal with things like points of communication, complaints, cooperation, learning, growth. If you're stuck on something, you can talk about that, and we'll try to help you through that. Well, actually, your vocal brain will help you through that. Our idea is to allow you to know yourself, and this allows you to have more comfort in your foundation so that you can reach out to other people and become part of that universal one. There is a password, compassion, that you'll need to use as part of this beta testing, or they'll just shift you onto somebody else. Or you can just tell them you heard it on BBS Radio if you forget the password. And we will be taking calls tonight. The audience participation number is 877-876-5227. The toll-free number in Canada is 888-810-8322, and if you want to dial direct, 530-876-3222. We will not be monitoring the Sound Health website tonight for emails. We've got some electric lines down here. There's lots of winds, and so we're just having trouble with the internet. Okay, we got all that busy stuff out of the way. Jonathan Goldman and his partner wife are on the line. Jonathan and Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry, and it is our pleasure to be here on your show tonight.
Indeed, a great pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. They love new things, and you guys have some books and CDs and teachings, and I want to know more about the World Sound Healing Day. Jonathan, when we talk to you, you could bring that up, because I have a special reason for doing it that way. I'd like a little more information. Andy, ladies first, we just sort of met on the fly in New Mexico, and it was like, hi, how are you? Here I am, and here's my face. And all I know about you is that you're gorgeous and you're gregarious. You're obviously involved with writing and music. It says in your bio that you're a holistic psychotherapist. Can you tell me a bit about what a holistic psychotherapist is? A little bit about your background and how you became an author and a teacher of sound healing.
Well, Sherry, I'd be just delighted to talk with you about that. And you're right, we did meet so on the fly. And I was just so grateful that we had that brief moment to at least give each other a quick hug. And Sherry, my background is as a holistic psychotherapist. I'm a licensed psychotherapist here in the state of Colorado. And basically what that means is that I integrate body, mind, and spirit into the work that I do. And using experiential therapies, and certainly sound therapy is one of those wonderful experiential therapies that is so powerful. And my goodness, I have, this lifetime as a psychotherapist has now been for about 15 years, many past lives in the same lifetime. And I have certainly been involved with the spiritual, mystical traditions for well over 35 years. About a dozen or so years ago, I met Jonathan Goldman, and he and I have been together ever since. And so we have talked a lot about how we could combine my background in psychotherapy with his pioneering work in sound therapy. And so we decided, this was now several years ago, that we would write a book together, and we would then utilize the material in the book to teach people the valuable self-help tool that sound can be, working with not only the emotional body, which is really the place where I come into the picture, but basically to utilize sound in our body, mind, and spirit.
I'm going to jump in for just a moment and say a little bit more about my dear wife, because there's certain things she doesn't talk about that much, and I think it's, you know, pretty neat. But when I first met her, gosh, about 12 years ago, she had actually developed the world's first telephone counseling service that went by the name of telecounsel, which is really the forerunner, if you like, of the whole concept of coaching. And she would have clients who are, homebound or whatnot, call her, and she was able to do therapy over the phone. Sherry, as you can probably obviously relate, you know, by just simply listening to the voice and being able to encode the information on the person's voice and then speaking back to the person, she was able to do healing work, and on a level using the conversational voice as healing modality. I was just so impressed by that. Andy's been written about in the New York Times and many, many other international journals for her work in this, and then we began to actually work together. We partnered up as simply husband and wife, and then we began to work together, and it's been obviously a wonderful pleasure.
So you're saying she's very in tune.
and I appreciate you, Jonathan, sharing that, because, you know, that is certainly something that I started way back, Sherry, in the early 90s, and it has since sort of evolved into what is generally known as coaching today. So thank you, Jonathan. I had
forgotten that. Well, that's something you did.
we'll talk more about that partnering and some of the conferences and lectures and workshops you do. When I saw you guys together, it was just like a bubble of joy. You guys look so good together, and your energy is just joyous when talking to you. Jonathan, I would like to say I met you a little bit ago, but it's been a long, long time.
We have known each other for many years, my dear, indeed.
Well, one of the most impressive things, we were both speaking someplace, it's been so long ago, I can't even remember, And we were in a meeting. It was like speakers for speakers, and there should be more of those.
Oh, right.
And we were listening to other people. I think we were sitting very close together. We were listening to other people talk about the people they were healing. And, oh, somebody, one of your people came to me, and I had to clean them up, and they complained about you, and they did this. And there's just that smear, smear, you know, kind of stuff that just made us very uncomfortable. And I think out of that came something that you created to bring all of these people together, and that's the Sound Healers Association. And I think a lot of that's been dispelled because some of the ideas that you put forth is we're just there as a choice. Yes, we're sound healers, but we're there as a choice. So I so much appreciate that you took that on. And I don't feel or sense that sort of infighting since you've said, we're going to all come together here, and we're going to do this for the people.
Well, that's very, very kind of you to say. I think we all of us still have a little, you know, many miles to go before we sleep in terms of our being able to just realize that the whole arena of sound is like this extraordinary pie. And, you know, one piece of the pie may involve the mathematics of sound. Another piece of pie may involve the geometry of sound. Another piece of the pie may involve the psychoacoustics of sound, and on, and no one person can, you know, really have the whole pie. So all we can do in this lifetime is really just share our information and really be in a state of cooperation. And, you know, you said the word compassion before, cooperation and compassion, as opposed to competition, which this planet has been dealing with for long enough, don't you think?
Yes, and I think there's enough sick people to go around.
Oh, Sherry. And, you know, it's interesting because it just seems like in any field, you know, there in our culture today, you know, there is that aspect of competition. And I think that it's so vital and so important to embrace the cooperation. And I like what you just said, Jonathan, cooperation coupled with compassion. Because truly, that's so healing, and healing is really what we're about.
Yes, indeed.
I think if we were perfect by vibration, by frequency, and by the laws of the universe, anyone who's perfect would spontaneously combust and not be here.
Right.
So,
or
by the fact that we're here, we got a few lessons to learn.
Probably go to another plane of consciousness because they no longer needed to learn the lessons or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Jonathan and Andy Bo, tell us about the Sound Healers Association. What is it about your directory, how people can get involved, use it as a reference?
Well, Sherry, actually, the Sound Healers was actually first founded in 1982. If you do the math on that, frighteningly, 25 years ago. And it was we were first had the name the New England Sound Healers. That's where it first came from. And then, shortly after that, within like, you know, shortly after, could have been half a dozen years, we changed the name to the Sound Healers Association simply to reflect the global consciousness as sound continued to grow in terms of people's awareness, and more people from throughout not only the United States, but all over the world became members of this organization. And the basic idea was simply some sort of means that would allow people to be able to network with each other and basically share with each other. And the fact that, oh, gee, there's more than I, the singular sound healer in one particular area of East Podunk or wherever you know, the part of the globe is that nobody else knows about. And here we can begin to really share and know that we are not alone. And then fairly recently, probably within about 5 or so years, time to me seems to lose meaning, we actually then were able to manifest the Sound Healers Association on the internet, and it is of course there, and people can go to www.soundhealersassociation.org, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful site. I say that truly because I just we recently updated it, and you can now go on, and if you are a member, you can basically listen to lectures that were recorded in the 1980s that feature some of the extraordinary great pioneers of sound healing. And at the time, we simply recorded them in my living room as these people spoke. And these were very, very well-known people, from Kay Gardner to Dr. Peter Guy Manners. And I had really hoped that we would be able to actually record these for the purpose of my creating a sound center in the physical plane, and people could go into a listening room and listen to these lectures. Well, we've been able to instead create the sound healing center on the etheric planes, courtesy of the internet, but people can still, if you like, in the privacy of their living rooms, listen to these wonderful lectures. And what is so really, really rewarding to me is that, a lot of people, when they begin to discover the field of sound healing, as you and I saw in November, the field is just really huge. But there are about 700 people at this conference. It's really, really growing, and we've been in this field for quite a while and doing pioneering work. But a lot of people, when they first discover sound healing, they think it happened when they discovered it. So if they discovered it this year, any of the stuff that predates this year, they may not know about. So what I really love is the fact that these great teachers from the 1980s and their incredibly impressive body of work and knowledge is now preserved on these archives in the, we call it the Sonic Library at the Sound Healers Association. How about that?
That's great. Don't you love these newbies that come into this and they're just sponges?
Yeah, indeed.
It's soundhealersassociation.com.
.org.
And also, Sherry, people can get to the soundhealersassociation.org also by going on our website,
right, which
is healingsounds.com. And there'll be a link on healingsounds.com to the soundhealersassociation.org.
Yeah, Healing Sounds is actually the website that features more of my own personal work with sound and recordings, etc. The Sound Healers Association is obviously the association. It's sort of a gift that I created to give to the universe, and it's not Jonathan Goldman's Sound Healers Association. It's simply the soundhealersassociation.org. But the healingsounds.com is one that really features my work, and it's a really nice mix of not only information, articles, interviews, etc., but also lots of tools and toys that people can investigate.
And that's healingsounds,
mm-hmm.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I looked
now,
at a bit of that, and the music you heard in the beginning was from that site. How can people become a member of the Sound Healers Association?
Sherry, it's very, very simple, and anyone who would like to become a member simply goes to soundhealersassociation.org and clicks on the link that says, or the,
we're both really computer. It's like probably like the button that says join.
The button that says join. And
okay.
Sherry, the beauty of this is that, anyone can join the association. It's a minimal amount. It's $25 for the year. And people can have actually their own web page. They're able to put up all of their information. They're able to have a link to their website. They're able to go in and change their information at any time. There is a place where they can have their picture. It's a really valuable tool for people who are sound healers, who are therapists of any kind, who use sound in their work. And then what that enables people who are not members of the association to do, say, for instance, someone in Boulder, Colorado, who wanted to find a sound therapist, would go to soundhealersassociation.org, click on the directory, and there would be the names and the information of all the sound healers, all the therapists working with sound in the Boulder area.
In other words, it's indexed by name, by what type of therapy you're doing, by city, county, and all that other stuff. We spent quite a bit of time just because we thought it was so important. And once again, it's a...
Well, basically, it's a way for people to connect with each other. It's a beautiful avenue for people to get in touch with either other sound healers or people looking for someone to do therapy in the sound arena.
And I'll tell you, a link that is right now non-active, because right now, as far as we know, the technology has not yet evolved. But I have this vision, and many divisions, as we all do, will evolve when the technology comes around, and it's called the Temple of Sacred Sound. And here is going to be a place where 24/7 people are going to be able to go online, go to a cyber temple where there'll be a number of different, if you like, healing mantras or chants that are going on that people throughout the globe are going to be able to actually sound together and project the energies of whatever, you know, whether it's an om or a ah or you, and they're going to be able to make sound while putting intentionality into it, consciousness, feeling, belief, love, so that, and the purpose of this Temple of Sacred Sound is simply to project intentionalized healing sounds to the planet.
Well, Andy, you are very right. $25 a year is like pennies over $2 a month.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. And for this, they can have a listing in their own one-page website.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really the purpose, as we were just saying, was to give people a format to connect with each other. And, you know, the world of sound, as Jonathan was just saying, and as we, you and I, discovered in Santa Fe, of course, is just growing by leaps and bounds every day. And so we're hoping that the Sound Healers Association.org can really help people to expand their consciousness in the area of sound.
Yeah.
Well, expand, but not only go to their core at the same time. You're familiar with Susan Alexandra's work at the DNA.
Sure, I've known Susan for many years.
Yeah. Well, it's very expanding, but it's also very internalizing.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
If somebody wants to find somebody who does Tibetan bells in Sacramento, do they have to join to get that reference?
No, and that's the great part, is that if, and it's interesting, Sherry, because part of why we developed it this way is that we would constantly get people calling us, you know, from different parts of the United States and, of course, the world, but primarily in the United States. And they would say, gosh, I live in Albuquerque, for instance. I'm looking for a sound therapist. Do you know anyone? And, of course, we would go into our, you know, listing of information to give them that. And so by putting all of this on a website, it then allows people, now when they call, I say, go to our website and go to the directory and just click in Albuquerque, and you will find a variety of therapists, and you can choose the ones that you want to contact. So they do not have to be a member to go into the directory to locate a therapist.
I'm going to test your memory now. What's the range of people here? Tibetan bells to gongs to singing to toning to, what is it?
We don't have a clue, because thankfully we were able to find a webmaster guy who was able to take the information that we gave him and put it in there. And I must be truthful, and we have a wonderful, wonderful office manager by the name of Alec, who is a great sound healer and a great you know, esotericist, and works with us. And he mostly just, you know, makes sure that the website is up and running and that the links are up and running. I've actually personally been to the website just a few times. I also hardly ever even go to the Healing Sounds, my own website, except to, you know, every once in a while put an announcement in, because I'm very busy with a number of projects, from writing a new book to doing a few different recordings to doing some DVDs. And, of course, Andy and I, when we're not working solo, we get together and we do stuff like this wonderful radio interview.
Well, people can get in touch with you through your healingsounds.com. I understand you guys are also putting together your own radio show.
That's right. And actually, Sherry, this is Jonathan Goldman's own radio show, and I'm certainly there to support and help him, but this is more something that he has really longed to do for a long time, because I don't know if you knew this or not, but he is a former DJ many, many years ago, and he is brilliant at it, and he's wanted to get his own radio show. So, Jonathan, why don't you talk about that?
Well, I mean, Sherry, having your own show, you know what it encompasses. Is your show weekly?
Mine's weekly, yes.
Yes, and I simply couldn't commit to doing a weekly show, so at one point I said, okay, I'll do it if you let me do it once a month, because I was on a 100,000-watt station, the number one radio station in Orlando, Florida, and I was on every day, and I loved doing radio, but unfortunately I couldn't do anything else, and there's so many other things to do that I am simply doing this show once a month, and I give thanks for that. Perhaps if it turns out that I can find out how to do it and have it be less of a time-consuming phenomenon, I will certainly do it. I really applaud you for being able to do it once a week.
It seems easy with great guests. Have you thought about broadcasting it on BBS radio? Because they're always looking for really good people to fill in slots. They're going to go to 24-hour broadcasting. And I'll ask Don about it, and we'll see if, I don't know if you're set up that you could do dual broadcasts, but we could certainly check it out.
Hadn't thought of it, but what a lovely idea. And I mean, once again, it's just a matter of, I don't know if you've found this, but I imagine you have. It really feels as though there's been really a compression of time lately. I mean, maybe it's just simply that I myself am growing older and my nervous system isn't quite working as quickly as possible. But I think that, indeed, space and the veils between the planes are really expanding, and at the same time, time is contracting, and what used to work for 24 hours seems to go by at around 12 to 14 to maybe 16 hours. Have you found that at all?
Jonathan, we are doing a project on that, and we have found a frequency that, I don't know if it actually elongates time, and this is really a biochemical issue, but you certainly get the feel that there's more hours in your day, and we are just now field testing it. We did the research in the lab, and it's coming back that people feel like their time is elongated, and it's tied to the growth hormones. An awesome kind of thing. I'll talk to you about it
That certainly makes sense.
We're not ready to release it to the public yet, but all of us could certainly use more time. I collect clocks, and I do that because I want more time. I finally figured out. Which is kind of nuts.
Well, what we focus on seems to come back to us. So, Sherry, focusing on clocks to give you more time. I love that.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the keys, which I'm certainly not able to do, but one of the keys to probably getting into more of a timeless space where time seems to go slower is to actually be able to slow down our heartbeat, our respiration, and our brain waves so that we almost enter that timeless space. I didn't say I could do it, but I think that might be one of the major keys, because I know that when I get stressed and my heartbeat, respiration, brainwaves are speeding up and I'm into that, you know, good old beta state, of just normal everyday activity, things are just whizzing by at 60, 80 miles an hour. But if I can begin to take a nice breath and just relax, things seem to slow down. I think if I could really remember to breathe and just chill out even more, things would slow down even more.
That is a great segue into the conferences and workshops you do and your new book, Tantra of Sound. Want to talk about that for a bit?
Great.
Love to, Sherry. Tantra of Sound was written, as I was mentioning earlier in the broadcast, Jonathan and I wanted to combine my background in counseling and psychotherapy with his pioneering work in sound therapy. And so, Sherry, we decided that we would write this book, and we did, Tantra Sound, and I'm happy to say that this past June it won the Visionary Award, the 2006 Visionary Award for Best Alternative Health Book. And in our book, we have got many different exercises that people can utilize at their own pace, within their own body, mind, and spirit, where they can begin to work with sound to do what we were just talking about, slow down our heart rate, our respiration, our brain waves, and really begin to bring that harmony and that inner peace and that balance into our lives through sound.
It's interesting. We called the book Tantra of Sound because I thought it was, first of all, a very juicy title, that it would intrigue people. But we're really using the word Tantra in its authentic meaning, which is the interconnecting web that unites all of reality. It's been known as Indra's net. Some people call it the mind of God. My friend Greg Braden recently wrote a book called The Divine Matrix, and it's really still all about this interconnecting force that unites all of reality. And, you know, it is really, the ancient word for this is Tantra, and Tantra actually means...
Actually, the etymology of Tantra is derived from two words, Tatva and Mantra. And Tatva is the science of cosmic principles, Mantra, the science of vibration. And so it seemed actually, even though we did go a little bit out on a limb to, you know, use the word Tantra, it was really very right on for what our book was about, because we utilize and use sound to connect with the Tantra, with the divine energy, the interconnecting web of life.
Yeah, in fact, I like to say that Tantra is the, if you like, the web of life, and sound is the substance that makes up this web. So we basically, our book is written about how to use sound, and most of it is self-created sounds that we can make in order, first of all, to tune into the connection to the one, if you like, and the connection to the oneness within ourselves. And then if you have a partner, if it's appropriate to use these exercises with a partner, you can use them with any sort of partner, though. It doesn't have to be a spousal partner. It can be somebody you're in business with. You can do these exercises with your kids or with friends, because basically the first idea is you get into a state of oneness with self, so you really feel that connection with the divine. Then through working with sound, you make a sound with somebody else. Andy, let's make an ah together.
Even something as simple as an ah. Ah.
And there was this field that was just generated between Andy and myself that didn't exist a couple of seconds before. Or if it existed, it was solidified and made stronger through that.
Well, one of the purposes of our book, Sherry, and I hope this will be helpful to your listeners tonight, is to be able to use sound in a simple way, because it can be as complex as you want, it can be as simplified as you want, and what Jonathan and I just did in that moment, sounding together with an ah sound, was something that changed our
vibrational field.
Well, you can hear it come together and become very complementary.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who are very reluctant to make sounds. Did you say just make a sound? I don't care what it sounds like, just something come out of there? Or do you teach people to sing or tone in a certain way?
Well, one of the most important things that we teach is intentionality coupled with sound. And the intention that you put into the sound is as important from our perspective as making the sound. And it's interesting because I think it was Stephen Halperin that said sound is a carrier wave of consciousness. And I love that term, a carrier wave of consciousness. So sound coupled with intention is really... is really important.
And, you know, you were asking about, you know, well, essentially, if I could rephrase it, for what about the people who perceive that they can't carry a tune in a, what is the proverbial bucket? Can they do this stuff? And really, our big thing is that we're not talking about entertainment, which is, you know, getting up and singing in front of an audience, doing performance sounding, but we were talking about entrainment. And entrainment, as you well know, is a subcategory of resonance. It's the ability of one sound or one vibration to shift and change another vibration. So we're talking about frequency shifting here and being able to use really our own self-created sounds as tools coupled with intentionality to change and put us in a state of health and balance. You know, I think the very, very first thing that people have to do when they, and we talk about this, of course, in the book, when they start working with sound is simply to get rid of the judge. Because so many of us were, you know, we grew up in, schools, and if you, you know, everybody was judging you, so that I was like, okay, you know, you try out for Glee Club, and the teacher looks at you and says, you go out for track, or you go in the back and mouth the words, or, you know, go out for the chess club, you know. So people are walking around with almost these blocked throat chakras thinking, well, I can't sing, I can't make a sound. Everyone can make a sound. Now, it may not be the type of thing where you go on to become a winner at American Idol or something like that, but at the same time, you can use it to really shift and change your own vibrational field, and that's what healing is all about.
Well, and also, I think it's really important for people to know that sound, by simply beginning to use your own voice, for self-created sounds, if you're in a place of turmoil, if you're feeling an overwhelming amount of stress or stress on any level, you can literally even start to hum, and that will shift and change your vibration. And just as a quick little anecdote, Jonathan and I actually did a radio program on Friday. And we went to the station. It was a local program here in Boulder. Well, we've had just an onslaught of intense winter weather here in Boulder. We woke up Friday morning, and it was very bad. The streets were icy.
Snow and wind.
And so, obviously, we were feeling slightly stressed and having to get, you know, to a radio station at a certain time.
And drive.
And on the way, Jonathan and I began to make, well, first we started making an ah sound, then we started the om, and within a very short period of time, we felt calm. We felt an inner sense of calmness, and that's one of the healing aspects of sound.
And it's so really, really simple, and I think one of the really, really extraordinary aspects about sound, and particularly self-created sound, and of course I really, truly honor all the various instrumentation. As you well know, I have recordings and, you know, tuning forks and X, Y, and Z that we do ourselves. But, you know, if somebody is, you know, in a position where they don't have access to electricity or batteries or whatnot, if they can simply learn use their own sounds. I mean, babies do this all the time when they hum as a self-soothing type of mechanism, simply by even just humming and projecting within the hum some sort of intentionality or prayer or understanding or belief, you can really begin to access an extraordinary level of, I guess the word is a psychopharmacology or something like that. In other words, you can actually begin to change your nervous system and get all sorts of different neurochemicals being released at that time. And it just feels good. It's very, you know, whether it's, you know, melatonin or whatever is being, you know, I'm not, you know, going out there. And anyway,
I have a good friend who has two children. They're grade school aged, and in the mornings when they're getting ready to get to school, of course, that's a very hectic time. And before they go out the door in the morning, they stop and they om together to prepare for their day. And my friend told me that her children absolutely love doing that. And they not only begin to feel more comfort level in going to school, but they have fun doing it, and it makes them start giggling and laughing too.
And speaking about home, Cher, I hooked in my CD player here, and talking about home, I'm wondering if we could listen to about 2 minutes of Ultimate Home, which is a recording that I created right shortly after I was actually down in New York doing a workshop right after 9/11. I really felt that it would be really important to create a very simple, easy-to-listen-to recording for people to hear, and basically something that they could play that would help calm and relax them. Could I play a little example of that?
That would be great. I have more to talk to you about the Tantra of Sound, but that would be great. It'd be a great
thing. I'll just do this for a second, just because...
Well, a second. How about a minute, at least?
All right.
So... I think you guys are using the word tantra that people associate with sex, but you're using it as unity.
Absolutely.
And
thank
connection.
You,
and here's a hopefully a unified sound. We'll listen to it for just a minute, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Did I do it? Yeah. Okay. Playing this track. Are you still there?
Yes, I heard instrumentation, but also way in the background some overtone voice.
Yeah, no, that thing was totally 150% just all human voices. Not nary an instrument on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
My ear must be awful.
No.
It's probably either... That's voices?
Yeah, those are just voices. It's an undulating bed. Mm-hmm. What's kind of nice about it is they were all tuned to what is called the Pythagorean fifth, which is a 3-to-2 ratio with overtone. So it's, there's certainly a difficulty with hearing something that is stereo coming through a little telephone wire and all that stuff, and that there may have been some distortion or whatnot. But a lot of people use that one. We know of stores, for example, that... they have that playing just very gently in the background, 24/7, so that when people walk into the store, they're just immediately hit with this very, very calming energy, and it's nice. So that was Ultimate Om. Just wanted to share that because Andy was mentioning Om. But back to the Tantra of Sound.
Well, it was very core relaxing.
Yeah.
In the Tantra book in the back, it has a disc with all of these exercises that you walk through. Is this part of the workshops and lecture appearances that you guys do? Is this what you teach?
Basically, when we do presentations, for example, we have a two-hour How Sound is Healing presentation, which is really a multimedia sort of show with talking. And we've now joined the 21st century, so we now do this on PowerPoint, and we play music, and we do all sorts of things. But when we actually do a workshop, because that is designed to really feed people's left and right brains together, so they have an idea of how sound works. And then we, in the workshops, we go really deep into the experiential, because from my perspective, and I'm sure yours too, you know, you can have all the data in the world, all the information in the world, people can talk up a storm, but if they haven't actually had the experience of perhaps, it's, you know, using sound as a healing modality, or really experiencing the power of sound to shift and change them, then it's not real for them, and we want to give them a real experience.
And so, Sherry, to, you know, to answer the question, do we teach the sounds that are on that CD that's in the back of our book that does have recorded examples? The answer is absolutely. And people who come to our workshops really experience working with sound within their own body, mind, and spirit. And in fact, we do a 9-day training every summer here in Colorado, and it's 9 days of people experiencing many, many, many exercises involving all of those recorded examples on the CD from our book that explains how to do the exercises in our book, but we do them and we teach them in our workshop.
That's called the Healing Sounds Intensive, and it's such an incredible, tremendous amount of fun. I have to say that from my perspective, sacred and solemn are not synonymous. You know, it says make a joyful sound unto the Lord in the Bible. And so we're into really being joyous in our sounds, because I don't think that being really serious is going to, you know, make God love us any more or less, or God us love us any more or less.
Well, I think there's a joyness in just seeing the two of you together and doing a workshop. Must be some powerful energy going on.
Thank you, Sherry.
Is this a standalone book also?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And this is just one of many books that you've done. Where can people get this book?
Well, they can definitely get it on our website, healingsounds.com. And I know that we've seen it in Barnes and Noble and
Amazon, for those type of places like that.
And a lot of metaphysical bookstores carry our book. And but anyway, definitely through our website. If they can't find it anywhere else, they can call us.
www.healingsounds.com. That's sounds with an S at the end. We say that because if you go to Healing Sound without the S, it's wonderful. You get to the website of some sort of Indian guru, who I'm sure is a really lovely chap, but he's not us. I don't want people to think that, Swami Muktananda, whomever is Jonathan Goldman. No, they're two different people. We're sounds with the S at the end.
Sounds plural.
Right.
We've got about 10 minutes, and I want to, the tantra of sound and the unity of people and their relationships. Can you talk about the World Sound Healing Day and the unity of the planet?
Thank you so much. Because this is such an important, if you like, aspect of our work right now. Probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was in a very, very deep state of meditation. And as with many of us in deep states of meditation, we communicate with, shall we say, higher levels of consciousness. And many, many, many years ago, I was given as an assignment to help bring to this planet the awareness of sound as a healing modality. And perhaps 20 years later, I'm now in a deep state of meditation. I'm talking to the same beings. And I said, well, I think that this has occurred. You know, more and more people are aware of sound as a healing modality. It's being done in hospitals, there are all these different groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What now? And these beings said to me very, very simply, you must turn your attention from personal healing sound to planetary healing sound. And I went, ah. So,
ah.
Right, ah. So we then began something called World Sound Healing Day, which this February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, is the now 5th annual World Sound Healing Day, where we have people throughout the planet just pausing for 5 minutes and making an ah sound coupled with the energy of love, compassion, appreciation, and sending this out to the planet.
It's as though we're sending out a sonic Valentine to Mother Earth, and to be able to just sound forth with an ah sound coupled with the intention of healing and love for our planet. And we are so grateful, Sherry, that we are able to facilitate World Sound Healing Day, and it is coming up February 14th on Valentine's Day.
And is there a time of the day?
Well, you know, we used to, I mean, very, very great question, and the answer is no, because we used to have it at 12 o'clock noon New York time, or 12 o'clock noon some other time, and it would turn out that it became very, I mean, you know, within the last couple of years, I got a lot of disgruntled emails from people in places where it just wasn't possible to do it at, that there was no singular time that we could find that worked for throughout the planet. And then another very deep meditation, I saw that if people throughout the planet within a 24-hour period were able to make sound just within that period, that the sound would basically create an entire shift on a global level so that it didn't really matter. So we're just telling people that whenever they feel comfortable taking 5 minutes, pausing, being in a state of appreciation, giving thanks for this extraordinary life, giving thanks for being on this extraordinary planet, sending a sonic Valentine with a or whatever, you know, tone you want to make.
And Sherry, here in Boulder, Jonathan and I will be facilitating an hour-long toning of the Ah sound on February 14th. But people throughout the planet...
From 5 to 6. But
well,
people, you know...
Throughout the planet are gathering in groups and creating hour-long toning groups.
So
or
day-long toning.
Yeah.
Groups, you know.
Yeah. But it is one of those sort of worldwide events that anybody can participate in. And we invite any and all of our wonderful listeners tonight to check out our website for the World Sound Healing Day. And perhaps in their community, they may want to gather a group of people and sound the Ah sound in a gathering.
Right. There's even actually a downloadable Ah sound that's on the website that is tuned to a harmonic of the Schumann resonance, which is, you know, said to be one of the frequencies of the Earth, so that, you know, but once again, we're very, very free-floating with our sound, so if whatever tone people want to use, whatever, just as long as, you know, we feel that actually the sound really coupled with the, if you like, the consciousness really just, well, there's a reason, for example, why most prayer on this planet is spoken aloud. Sound amplifies prayer. Sound amplifies meditation. Sound amplifies the power of manifestation. It's that simple. And really, you and I were talking a little bit before about how really important this is, because we really can co-create the reality of this planet and bring it from one of imbalance, disharmony, to one of harmony and peace and compassion.
So it's likely that any time during that day, there's going to be somebody else doing it with you.
That's right. Yay!
Is there a point of concentration? Like, do you think about a flame or something that, some point that people can think about, a point of joining?
Well, it's interesting because they've actually found that if you simply begin to breathe in and out, and as you breathe in and out, you first of all find something that you feel appreciative of. For a lot of people, you know, to say, well, find something that you feel joyous of or loving, sometimes there's a little bit of difficulty, but finding something that you feel appreciative of seems to be pretty easy for most people. So it could be a spouse, it could be a child, it
could be a beautiful flower that inspires you to appreciation.
Right, it's just something you feel really, you know, sometimes like even just, you know, imagine that you're lying on the beach and a beautiful, you know, sun is beating on you and the waves are there, something you feel appreciative of. And as you feel this appreciation, you begin to breathe, and as you breathe, you visualize or imagine or feel that the breath is going in and out of the heart. And just this act alone, of, if you like, breathing in and out of the heart, creates a coherent waveform between the brain and the heart. So you're creating a coherent form there, and then as that happens, you begin to do that.
Is there more instructions on your website? How people can get involved?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yes. I mean, we have actually a lot of different links and a lot of different articles and a lot of different things about that. And people are, please come join us and be part of the celestial choir that will shift and change and just raise the vibrations of the planet through our co-created sounds, light, and love.
Well, we're certainly going to put a link on our site to this and put it out to our people. We only have a minute or so. I want to talk about the Nexus Healing Expo that you're doing on the 10th.
Wow. That's right.
Appearances. So let us know a little bit about that. And as you talk, we'll go out with music. I have a dozen other questions. We're going to have you guys back.
That would be lovely.
And Sherry, I have to tell you that this hour has gone so quickly, and thank you so much for just this beautiful interview.
For your kindness and compassion and your true wisdom and understanding. Thank you.
Wow, thank you. So tell us about your appearances and how people can get involved in what you do.
Well, probably one of the neat things that we're doing, actually, next weekend, of course, in Boulder, is this Nexus Expo, but after that, there's the Reiki and Sound Conference in Sedona, Arizona.
And that is around, I believe it's the 23rd and 24th of February. And Jonathan and I will be presenting our work at the Sound and Reiki Conference. And we do have more information about that on our website.
And we're constantly doing things. But Sedona is a really neat place. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Oh, it's
awesome.
So listen, thank you so much for this opportunity again. And for all your wonderful listeners, just, you know, a reminder of the extraordinary power of sound to heal and transform, and that we, working with our sound, our light, our love, can co-create and really make a difference on this planet.
Love.
I always use a thought at the end of the show, and the thought today is, if God asked you to fail, and you did, would you consider yourself a failure? Because everything that happens to you has a reason. And it's up to you to find the joy and the grace in all that is your life. Till next time.